Today's going to be a little bit different than normal. We've been in a series called A New Year, New Hope. And we're kind of on a journey through 1 Peter where Peter is unpacking what really hope looks like, what a living hope looks like. And just some background to that letter is he, 1 and 2 Peter were letters to a lot of different churches in a lot of different regions. And he's talking to brand new Christians, right, who they're just newly saved. Christianity is kind of a new thing just after Jesus, right? And there's a lot of persecution going on. There's a lot of scary stuff happening. And so he's writing this letter of how to live a godly life in this pagan society in Rome. Right? He's trying to teach them like to persevere and to not lash out and to be humble and to obey your masters, those who are over you. Now, don't try to revolt and stuff. You show people the change that's happened in you because of Jesus through your love for them and through gentleness, he talks about. And even gives instructions to husbands whose wives aren't saved yet and wives whose husbands aren't saved yet. And he kind of guides us through that. And then we get to this this passage in 1 Peter 3. And last week we unpacked a little more about hope and holiness, and how those two things have to go together. Hope is really nothing without holiness. Hope is just an idea. Holiness is the action behind hope. If hope is our belief in Jesus Christ and that he is who he says he is, then holiness is living our lives with the idea that that's true for us, right? Holiness is acting that out in every area of our lives. And so last week we talked about really that hope and holiness work together to bring us a new life, right? That's what that new life is for us, that stepping into a new arena, right? Megan and Greg, right? You guys have stepped into that new life through that hope. You didn't just look at the hope and say, hey, that Jesus thing sounds like it's something I could believe in, and then leave it there, right? They actually changed their lives based around that belief system and owning that Jesus is who he says he is, right? And then the other thing that hope and holiness do for us, holiness keeps us rooted in Christ, because we can start that new life, but then we can get away from it pretty quickly by choosing to go back to the things that we want, to giving in to our selfish desires, to just really doing anything that is selfish in any way, shape, or form. That's really not what Jesus wants for us. Really, a relationship with Jesus and holiness equals surrender. Complete and total surrender is holiness. And so we talked about if you look down at your feet and you're standing on anything other than the person of Jesus Christ, then you need to hand that over, to surrender that, and then your feet will be planted where it needs to be. And the last thing we talked about with hope and holiness is that hope and holiness gives us purpose when we tell our story. And what's so interesting about this passage is it talks about, even in the face of persecution, even the naysayers at that time, Peter's saying, hey, even though the Roman people are calling you crazy for believing this Jesus, and they're saying, you guys are idiots, I can't believe you guys are believing that nonsense, right? And then they would face persecution for that. Peter said, hey, your good life, that life that you're living of holiness, it might not do anything right now, and you might face persecution for living that way now, but someday, when the bottom drops out for those people and they're facing their own mortality, they're facing what life can actually throw at them, they're going to think about you. And so if you really want to love somebody, if you really want to deal with the naysayers properly, you show them. You show them the difference in your life, and someday that difference might become their difference in their life. And so that's where we've been. That's what we've been talking about. And today I just want to read our passage. So it'll be up on the board here. If you want to follow along, we're reading out of 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. So again, Peter is coming off of this understanding that, you know, oftentimes we have to do good in the face of hardship, in the face of evil, in the face of persecution, that our job as those who carry this living hope is to carry that even through the hardest of times, right? And so verse 15 picks up and it says, But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I'm going to say that again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So here's the thing, guys. I looked at this passage. I read this over and over again this week. And I sat down a few times to try to write something, and I couldn't. There's weeks that happen like that. It was a crazy week too, right? But something was different this week. I could tell, like, okay, Jesus, obviously this isn't a traditional message you want me to give. You don't want me to. I have nothing written down today. But for this reason, we can unpack. I can give a whole sermon for 35, 40 minutes today about this verse that says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We could talk about that today, and you could just listen, and you could go from here, and that'll be that. Or I can ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. My job as a pastor, our jobs as your pastors, is to equip you, not just to preach at you, right? Not for you just to hear some good things and then leave from this place. Our job is to equip you to deal with what you're going to face in the real world and who Jesus is asking you to be. Our job is to equip you to become that. And for today, with this message in particular, the best thing that I can do is to offer you the opportunity to share. To offer you the opportunity to give us the reason for the hope that you have today in Jesus. I know that so many of us sitting in this room are facing pretty daunting situations, right? Sickness, death, cancer, job loss, you name it. We're facing everything across the board. But today, in the face of so much of that, more than ever, we need to give that reason. We need to hang on to the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen? So what we're going to do, in your bulletins, I just have that one question. It says, what's your answer? And the worship team, we're going to do a song. We're going to sing a song. And I want you to sit. And if you want to stand, if you're finished writing yours out, or if you know what your answer is, that's great. But I want you to sit down and I want you to reflect on that question. What is your answer? If somebody on the street walked up to you and said, what's your reason to have any hope in this life? In my eyes, this life is hopeless. So who are you to say that there's hope? Who are you to have the audacity to tell me that you have some hope that I know nothing about? What is your answer? Your family members, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, your acquaintances, your coworkers are desperate to hear your answer, guys. And as Christians, that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be answer givers. And so again, we're going to do a song. Worship team, I'll have you come forward. And I want you to just reflect on that question, pray through it, come up with an answer, and then we're going to pass a mic around, all right? I'm preparing you now. It's going to happen, all right? All right.
Give me a heart of band. Yeah. like Jericho. Come and tear down my walls. And I am in your hands. You are the promised land. You're the king of my heart.
So what I want to do now is we're just going to pass this mic around. Chris is going to have it if you want to raise your hands, and he'll come around. But I hope that you know where your hope lies. I hope that you can be bold enough to give the answer for the reason that, for the hope that you have, right? That's who we are as Christians. That's kind of our job. That's our purpose, is to be storytellers, to go share with others what Christ has done for us and the hope that that represents for us. And so I hope, again, that today we can be bold enough to do that. I want to fill this whole time with this. So, anybody want to go first? Awesome.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right, amen. Thank you. I am shaking right now, not because I'm nervous, because I am truly filled with the love of God right now. I mean, it is flowing through my body, and I'm just overwhelmed with it. I know that I've talked to you guys before about how my dad is doing, and some of you already know. But if you don't, right before Christmas, my dad was talking and eating on his own, and to this day, he is not talking. He is in ICU, and he's been on the 23rd, will be in the hospital for a month. And my answer to that question was victory. Victory because I know God is working, and God has brought my dad to where he is now. About maybe 2 weeks ago, my mom and I were there, and my mom has been there every day from morning till night, and I'm there, and we were there with the doctors after surgery has been done, just to kind of let you know, my dad had a brain infection, so completely, pretty much devoured his brain, lost all function, pretty much unresponsive, not living. And the doctor told us that he wasn't going to live, he wasn't going to make it, and they gave us 2 days to take him off the life support that he was on. And of course, as human being, we became hysterical and cried our hearts out. But I remember walking down and I said, nope, I'm praying to a God that has made so little too big, who is part of the Red Seas, who has fed multitudes, and who has healed the blind and healed the sick, and he is living today as he did yesterday. And so I went back to my dad's room, and I just continued to lay hands on him from that day. And he is alive, and he is looking to possibly go to Rehabilitation Center this week. And you know what? It is a roller coaster. He has his good days. He has his bad days. He looks fabulous one day, and he doesn't. And it's really, really hard to face my dad, to see him in a state that he didn't look like before. And he's not going to. He's not going to have that same figure. He's not going to look like me. He's not going to look like you. And that's okay, because I know that God has brought him to a place where he can continue to live as a vessel, to live as a servant, as God, and say, God put me through death twice and has brought me back twice. And I can tell you today that going to see a family member who is dying or falling apart and knowing that God is continuing to healing him is going to work, because he is moving his arms. He is moving his legs. He is, you know, sees me being responsive, and I know it's only going to get better from this. It's going to be a struggle, but God has already won that victory, and I know it. I know it. He's going to come back. So if anything that you're going through, like whether it's financial or whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can hit rock bottom and know that God's going to heal you, and God's going to bring you to a place where you're going to want to give up, but God is there. God is completely there, even when you don't think he is, and I know he is, and I love my dad with all my heart, and a lot of you know that, but just seeing him in his eyes and knowing he can't speak with me right now, God is healing him. God is touching him even now. So victory over anything, that's what my answer is.
That is so awesome. You know, God, it says in Psalms that God is our refuge and strength, and he is ever present. He's always present in our time of need. So that's really amazing. Who else? Who else to share?
I've actually been asked to read this for Jenny. She says, I have hope because Jesus answered my prayers to have my stepdaughter and her father live with us while my stepdaughter is in a drug rehab facility for probably at least one more year. Now my granddaughter goes to the school and church. She has made friends and is getting good grades.
Praise God.
Hello, I'm Brian. I have hope because I should not be here. And I should just be a statistic. 2 months premature, they gave me little hope of even living. And growing up in poverty and drug abuse family and emotional and physical abuse, I should be living a poverty-stricken life. But I had one thing. My grandmother was very religious and took us to church, and I prayed even at a very young age. And I have had so many things answered through prayer, and I'm not a statistic. I have a degree. I live a very nice life, complete opposite of when I grew up. I have a wonderful family, an awesome little baby, and another one to come. And I know that it's because of my faith in God and Jesus and praying, and I've just had so many answers that I myself could not explain. Yes, I put in work, but, when I have those hard days, I sit, pray, and, it gives me that confidence to keep on going.
Amen.
Louis, yeah, Louis over here.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Louis. I work for the sheriff's office. I went through a real bad depression. I was living up here in Red Rock alone. I had moved up here because a friend of mine lived here. Shortly after I moved here, he moved away. So that made things worse for me because I didn't know anybody, and I had kind of, I guess, closed myself off to everything. But what I truly wanted in life was just people around me, to have a family. I had gone through a divorce and I was alone. And when I gave my life to God and I started praying for the things that I had wished for, they started coming. I met my wife, Ricky. And again, I didn't have any kids of my own, but Ricky had the three boys. So automatically, my house was full, with the three boys. And I was so blessed to have them. And Ricky, having three boys, always wanted a little girl. And I used to tell her, I haven't had a kid yet, so I don't think that that's going to happened, but we're blessed with the boys. And so our specific prayer was for a little girl. And when Ricky ended up pregnant, which was amazing to me because I was 50 years old, had never had children, and God blessed us not only with a child, but with a daughter specifically, and not just my family, but my church family also. Because now I have friends in abundance, and so, God does answer prayers, specific prayers. So, that's my story.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Craig. I wasn't going to talk today, but I changed my mind. My life has been miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The fact that I believe after everything that I've been through is not surprising. the fact that I was arrogant enough to not believe for a long time. That was like, if you would have known me back then, you would have slapped me and told me to get over myself. When my mom was 3 months pregnant, she almost miscarried me. The umbilical cord was damaged, and I went to full term, but I was only 4 pounds, 10 ounces when I was born. I spent the first week of my life in an incubator. My parents were told not to name me and not to get attached because however short amount of time that I lived, I would be in the hospital that entire time. I was originally diagnosed with leukemia. There was a whole bunch of prayer that happened. A week later, the doctors couldn't explain it, but they couldn't find any leukemia, and they changed my diagnosis to something else. And still, my parents were told that the chances weren't going to be very good. And then a week after that, that diagnosis changed to there's nothing wrong with him, and they let me leave the hospital. And that was miracles number 1, 2, and 3 in my life. The first one happened 6 months before I was even born. And then my life just repeatedly miracles over and over and over again. In 2009, I came home from my first deployment. I was jacked up more, not from the deployment, but from just other personal things that were going on in my life. My ex-wife and I had been married for 7 years, and found out she was cheating on me again, and we got divorced, and I was pretty messed up over that. So when I came home from that deployment, I was partying very hard. That was when I met Sarah. We got together. We were both partying very hard, and I got a DUI. That led me into getting back into recovery, which led her getting into recovery. Neither one of us were going to church or anything like that at the time. I was actually a very affirmed agnostic, and I was a practicing Buddhist. Sarah was practicing her own stuff. That's her story. And somehow through this recovery process, we ended up getting back into church. And I remember the day I came home one day. This was before we started going to church. We had just been in recovery probably about 6 months together. And I walked into the house, and I couldn't find Sarah, so I went up to the bedroom, and she was on her knees praying. And I saw her praying, and I just turned around and walked out and went downstairs because I didn't want nothing to do with that. So she came downstairs, and I can be sarcastic, and she has no sarcasm filter. So I said, "So does this mean you want to start going to church?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And so I was like, "Well, okay, I guess we'll start looking for a church then." And, you know, a few years went by, and I ended up deploying again. And when I left again, we were going to a church that I was happy with. Sarah wasn't very happy with it because she was about 30 years younger than everybody else in the church. So she started looking around for another church, and that was how she found Crossroads in Sacramento, and she met Ashley and Matt and Ashley and Jason and other people. And when I came home from the deployment, I started going to church there too. We got really involved there, and when the announcement was made that there was going to be a new church in Red Rock, Arizona, we said, okay, we're doing that now. And here we are. So that's kind of like everything summed up really quick. But just so many miracles. Our baby girl was born on Friday. Thank you. She had a rough labor. She's been in the NICU. Since she was born, she had really low blood sugar, and they originally told us, well, she can leave whenever her blood sugar gets better, and, you know, just a lot of confusion because nobody really communicates well at that hospital. So just since this morning, actually, her blood sugars are starting to stabilize, and they've started to reduce the amount of sugar that they're giving her through her IV. So hopefully she'll be coming home with us here in the next day or two. So my hope, the reason I have, is because God is with me. He's always been with me, and there's no possible way that I can ever deny that.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Stephanie. Some of you know me because I take care of my grandchildren, and my daughter has been struggling with drugs. The struggle with drugs has gone really in a positive way now. She's doing really good, and we're looking to reunite the girls with her 100% of the time, which is awesome. But drugs have always been a part of my life. I think I started doing drugs probably when I was like 13, 14. Interestingly enough, my kids never had any part of that. They were never a part of any kind of drugs, but both of them got into drugs. And I grew up with alcoholics and the old family tradition of don't say anything. But I think people need to say stuff because you can get better. You can be stronger. Luckily, I always had a grandmother and a father, a mom, that actually were very, very religious. I could probably count the times that my father ever drank a beer twice in my lifetime. My grandmother, no. My mom, she had a few more tequilas. But what I'm saying is that no matter where I've been, hope, love, and God has always been with me. Through a fairly good marriage for 32 years. Unfortunately, he was a cheater. But I was strong. I always had faith through that. And one day I said, okay, Lord, tell me what to do. And he did. I have been stronger, healthier, and now I found a great church. Hope is every day. Hope is a smile from somebody who you don't know, a sunrise, the passing of a loved one. Explaining to somebody, it's all right if you don't care or you don't have faith. I have faith for you, because he's always there. Being thankful not only for a great life, but for a hard life. Because in being humble, you get more greatness. Those are the things that I'm hopeful for.
Amen.
Hey everybody, my name's Joe. My story was much like my brother Greg here. Different circumstances, but we both ended up at a place of brokenness at the age of 43 because of a lifetime of bad choices. I woke up one day in the Holiday Inn in Burbank, and all my clothes were stacked up on one bed, and I was in the other bed, and I just lost the only thing that I ever cared about, which was my family. And I didn't know it until I got separated from my family. And so that was my place of brokenness, and I was looking for some hope. And I found that hope. I had been raised with Jesus, but I knew about him up here in my head, but I didn't have him in my heart. I got out of high school, I joined the Army, and up for 25 years I went into a running from God until when I was about 43. I hit bottom, separated from my family all by myself. I called my wife and said, how can we get back together? We've been married 18 years, and it was a rough 18 years. And she said, the only way you can get back together is you got to change. And so I said, what do I have to do to change? And so I came back to Jesus. We both got born again, joined AA. Back in 1986, there was no Celebrate Recovery. About 10 years later, Celebrate Recovery came along, and we got involved. We both got involved in that. Basically got a new purpose for our lives, which was service. And been doing that ever since. I guess my word for today would be reconciliation is the reason for my hope. First, I had to get reconciled to God and believe that in what Jesus did for me on the cross. He took away all that junk of my past, and I am forgiven, and I am righteous because of what he did for me. And then I had to get reconciled to my family. And she stuck with me. And in May, we're going to have our 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you. You want to go next?
I'm the other half of that message. My name is Sandra. I would say coming from a dysfunctional family and going through life not having any answers at all and wondering why my life was not quite right all the time and in and out of bad relationships and relationships that didn't work and et cetera, like most of the people I've met along the way. But finding Celebrate Recovery, walking into Saddleback on a Friday night because I had heard about the program and wondered what this thing was all about, because our little church had ordered it, and I didn't think they were doing it right. So I happened to be in California working, and I walked in and found out that it was an amazing ministry. And long story short, going through the program and reconciling myself with God and coming to an area of forgiveness, I had never known much about forgiveness. It was something, you know, I heard in church and said, you had to forgive. And I went, well, I forgive you, but we're not having lunch. It used to be my term. It's not forgiveness. It means I don't want a relationship with you. But anyway, now I know that forgiveness is something altogether different. And accepting Christ's work at the cross was my first step in that, and that Christ did die for me. And actually did die for me personally. That's something I had never, ever picked up on in my going to church as a child. And so I would say that, and just the reconciliation process has been amazing. And we're celebrating, like Joe said, our 50th wedding anniversary this year. There would have been absolutely no hope. There was no hope. Actually, 21 years ago, when we walked into Celebrate Recovery, it's actually 21 years ago, and there was no hope at all. Our marriage was falling apart, our lives were falling apart, even though there had been 10 years of secular recovery, which I hardly responded to at all, because I didn't think I belonged there. I didn't have the problem. But anyway, I found out I have a lot of problems later, codependency being one of them, big one. And, you know, just even not knowing how to forgive, not knowing how to reestablish relationships. So I have lots of hope. I have a little time left on this earth, and I have tons of hope. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
You know, what's so amazing, too, is that we can have hope because God brings people into our lives. God brings situations into our lives to help us focus on him and to get where we need to be. And I just want to tell you, for those of you who don't know Sandra and Joe, that is a miracle story in and of itself of hope, right? We identified, you know, it was on Sarah and Craig's heart specifically about maybe bringing a CR program to Red Rock, because we saw such a great need out here for people to be able to get some lasting healing through hurts, habits, and hangups. And you know, what was so awesome is we had some people go down to Victory Church and kind of attend one of their meetings, and they met Sandra and Joe, and just so happens they lived a block away from them in Red Rock. That's how hope works, guys. Right? God gives us what we need to produce the hope and the future that he wants, that he's created for us. God has good for you. God has new life. God has hope for you. If today you're hearing these stories and you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish I had that. I wish I could stand up and boldly give an answer like some of these guys have. If you're thinking that, I want to tell you that it's as easy as a moment. One moment of saying, Jesus, I need that. I need to stop trying on my own. I need to stop putting my hope in me, because I failed myself too many times. This life has failed me. This world has failed me too many times, and I need a hope that I can stand. I need a real lasting hope in my life. And I want to tell you, for all of those of us that stood up and spoke, and so many more of us in this room, we know that hope to be none other than Jesus Christ. There is no hope outside of Jesus. None. Everything else in this life is false compared to Jesus. It's weak. It's nothing compared to Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you're hearing these stories of hope right now, and if you know, I need that, or maybe you've met hope before, maybe you've tried to begin a relationship with Jesus, but there's still junk in your life holding you back, and you're hearing stories like Sandra and Joe and Greg's, and you're thinking like, holy cow, if they can be freed from that kind of a life, I want that too. Maybe Jesus can do that for me too. God has brought hope here in the form of Celebrate Recovery. Right? Sign up for that if that's what you're needing in your life. Sign up for tribe groups if you're needing some discipleship in your life. If you're hopeless in your finances, sign up for FPU. All of these things are designed for you to be able to focus on Jesus, the only one that can bring you any hope. But if you've never met hope, if you're just hearing about that from all these people, and today you realize, I need that in my life. And for the first time, I want to say that. I want to ask you to bow your heads. And I just want to give an opportunity. If you're hearing about this hope, about this Jesus that can change everything, that can take away your past, that can restore, that can make new out of your life, if you're hearing about that and you want that, I ask that you would raise your hand. Thank you. All it takes is an acknowledgement of saying, Jesus, you're the only real hope. I need you. I want you. Take my life. Take control. You are my hope. That's what a relationship with Jesus looks like. We're going to continue to worship. And as we sing, I just want you to focus on that hope. And to continue to think about, many of you wrote down your answers, and I want you to think about, who is that answer for in your life? Who needs to hear that answer in your life? What coworker, what family member, what friend, what neighbor is desperate to hear your answer of why you have hope in this life? And as we sing, I pray that you could make the commitment to be a storyteller today, to go and share that hope. Let's sing.